Let's do some housekeeping. My cell phone check, please. All cell phones silent or off. And no cameras. As it is, chapter 6, text 26. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamas thiram tatastato niyam yaitad atmanyeva vasham nayet. From where, whatever and wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Purport. The nature of the mind is flickering and unsteady. But a self-realized yogi has to control the mind. The mind should not control him. One who controls the mind, and therefore the senses as well, is called Goswami, or Swami. And one who is controlled by the mind is called Godas, or the servant of the senses. A Goswami knows the standard of sense happiness. In transcendental sense happiness, the senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesh, or the supreme owner of the senses, Krishna. Serving Krishna with purified senses is called Krishna consciousness. That is the way of bringing the senses under full control. What is more, that is the highest perfection of yoga practice. Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manabhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaiham Tathati Chaparantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Savrajatam Shahagana Raghunatham Pitam Sam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakham Pitam Sam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Sadha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Nikoli Priye Vamcha Kokarubhyascha Kripasindhau Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shani Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam asthiram tatas tato niyam naitad atmaneva vishandhayet. Here the nature of the mind is described: nischalati, chanchala, and asthir. Nischalati means always agitated. Chanchal means fickle, and asthir means unsteady. This is the nature of the mind. The Krishna explains that above the senses is the mind. The mind is the center of the senses. And above the mind is the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the soul. But we all have experience of mental life. And the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, Lord Kapildev describes in more detail the qualities of all the material elements, including the mind. The mind is one of the material elements. In illusion, we sometimes identify ourselves with the mind. Either we identify ourselves with the gross body, thinking, I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm thin or fat or young or old. Or we identify ourselves with the mind, and we think in terms of being an intellectual, or being an emotional person, or being a sober person, or being a this, or being a that. I'm this kind of a person, I'm that kind of a person. I mean, thinking in terms of the mind. Or both. I think I'm the body and the mind. That is some total of the body and mind, that's me. This is false. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that there are gross elements, five gross elements: earth, water, fire, air, and akash, ether, and three subtle elements: mind, intelligence, and false ego. These are all material elements. Just, of course, they're mind and intelligence, false ego, they're very, very subtle. All of these elements, they go from gross to subtle. Earth is gross. You can pick it up in your hands and hold it in your fist. Water is more subtle. You can't hold it in your fist like that. Then the fire is still more subtle. Air is so subtle that you can't see it. And ether is still more subtle. The scientists are still arguing about whether they're, or maybe they stopped arguing, but it's been a question. Science, you know, what is this ether? Very subtle thing. When we come to the level of air, ether, we're dealing with the electronics is on the ethereal platform, radio waves and things like that. Quite a lot more subtle than something like earth, which you make bricks out of and build houses from. So above the air and ether, the next element is the mind. The characteristics of the mind, there are several, but two prominent characteristics are called sankalpa vikalpa: to accept something and to reject something. Just like a switch, they have, you know, what we call an on-off switch, like a light switch is an on-off switch. And that's its function. It's either to be on or to be off. And the mind also functions something like an on-off switch. It accepts something or it rejects something. Accepting is called sankalpa, rejecting is called vikalpa. And because the mind is restless and unsteady, it tends to accept and reject, whimsically. So we walk past a store window where we you think, oh, those are nice shoes. I think I'd like to have those shoes. No, actually, they're not so nice. Well, actually, they're pretty nice. No, no. And so the mind flip-flops back and forth between accepting and rejecting. I like that girl, or I like that girl. Well, actually. Yeah. This is the nature of the mind. Therefore, chanchal. Chanchal means flickering. Fickle. Whimsical. You never know whether the mind is going to be on or off, whether they're going to say, well, yeah, why not, or eh. The mind goes like that. It's fickle. Above the mind is the intelligence, which has a different function. The function of the intelligence is discrimination. With the intelligence, we weigh something and we say, well, do I actually need new shoes? Do I have enough shoes already? Can I afford these shoes? Could I get a better deal someplace else? Are they going to last? Are they good quality? Is the price right? And after analysis, we make a decision. Yes or no. Now when we make a decision with the intelligence, it's fixed. It's fixed. Intelligence doesn't go, yeah, no, yeah. Intelligence considers, weighs, and decides. Therefore, the intelligence is higher than the mind, and the intelligence is meant to direct the mind. When things are backwards, these senses, which the mind is supposed to control, control the mind. And then the mind drags on the intelligence. The mind says to the intelligence, at the moment I want this, give me a reason. So the mind engages the intelligence in its service. It drags the intelligence down. And the mind is being dragged by the senses. And of course, what's dragging the senses are some attractive objects for the senses. So in this way, we're being dragged. And then what is called bodas, or servant of the senses. The soul is being dragged, actually. The soul has no business with this material world, but the soul is identifying with matter. That's the finest material element. That's called false ego. I'm not this body, I'm spirit. But I falsely identify with this body. That's called ahankar, false ego. So when that false ego is there, then the false ego is dragged by the polluted intelligence. Polluted intelligence is dragged by the uncontrolled mind. The uncontrolled mind is dragged by the insistent senses. And in this way, one becomes a servant of the senses. But yoga indriya samyama, yoga means to control the mind and senses, to become Goswami or controller, not Godas, be controlled. I recently saw some book on American history. It was talking about one of the generals in the American Revolution. And it seemed that this particular general had a problem with liquor and women and so on. And the author commented quite rightly that the commander was not in command of himself. Quite to the point. So one has to be in command of oneself. People want to command the whole world, but they can't command their mind and senses. Rather, they're commanded by the mind and senses, and they have to obey the orders. So yoga means to take command of the mind take control of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And how to do that is described in this verse. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram tatastato niyamdaitam atmaneivam shalini. The mind, because of its unsteady nature, will wander here and there. But wherever it may go, one has to bring it back. Just as one trains an animal, the ox is trained, that you have to go around in this circle, or horse is trained, you have to go in this way. And whenever he tries to go someplace else, nope, you got to come back. And then gradually he learns, yes, I have to walk in this circle, I have to obey these commands. So one has to train the mind in that way. Śrīla Bhakti-siddhānta Saraswati Thakur used to say that one should beat the mind in the morning 100 times with a broomstick, and in the evening 100 times with a shoe. So how will we do? Because the mind deserves to be beaten. It's such a rascal. It's going here, it's going there, it's going to all nasty places, it's going to all foolish places, going to all useless places, and having a good time, and then saying, no, actually it wasn't so good, let's go here, let's go there. And the poor soul is being dragged around by the mind. So the mind has to be disciplined. In the yoga system, the sixth chapter describes the Dhyana yoga system. The yogi is told to sit in a certain posture, to practice breathing exercises, to keep the eyes half open and half closed and fixed on the tip of the nose, to control his eating, to be situated in the sacred place, to follow the rules of brahmacharya. All of this is to gain control of the mind and the senses. And then in the system of meditation, he's supposed to concentrate the mind. That concentration is meant to concentrate the mind on Krishna. Dhyana vaspita tarputena namsar pashantiyam yogi. Yogis could see the personality of Godhead by their meditation. That was the objective. So the yogi is being taught, wherever your mind is going, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. And in the previous ages, like Satyuga, they could actually do that. They could sit in meditation, silent meditation, and by the power of their intelligence, they could bring the mind into control. By thought, just by intelligent thought, they could observe the mind, oh, you come back here, and gain control of the mind. Shanai, shanai, upareme. Slowly, slowly, they would bring the mind under control. You can't go anyplace else. And they would sit like that 10,000 years, 20,000 years, 50,000 years. Kuteya tyayato Vishnu. They would meditate on Lord Vishnu within the heart. That was their program. In the Kali Yuga, who can do that? The silent meditation in the Kali Yuga is practically impossible. There's no peaceful place, first of all. We'll sit for an hour in an auditorium or something, yoga studio, and meditating. But no one can actually find a peaceful place. Certainly not in New York City anywhere. And even if there's a peaceful place, even if there were a peaceful place, your cell phone rings, you've got to check your email, and so many other things are going on. So the mind is pulled this way, pulled that way, in so many different directions. your mind is agitated and distracted. As Kali Yuga goes on, people become more and more distracted. The mind is here and there and everywhere. Even it's become like standard. Practically all of America is diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. People can't focus their minds. So, in this age, Golotant Harikirtanat, the chanting of the holy name of Krishna is the recommended means to bring the mind under control. One only has to fix one's mind on this transcendental sound, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And that's practical. When there's some sound, everyone's attention is at once pulled. In silent meditation, our mind wanders. But when there's some sound, it draws the mind, draws the senses. So this sound is to be vibrated, Hare Krishna, and it's arranged, there are three names arranged in this formula of 18, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And while chanting, the mind may naturally want to do its usual business of wandering, but one goes on chanting with the intention of bringing the mind back to the sound. Wherever the mind goes, it may go here, it may go there. No, your business is to hear. Well, my dear mind, your business is to just hear the holy name. Whatever else you want to do, you can do that later. But where now our business is to chant Hare Krishna and hear Hare Krishna. When in the Sankirtan, when there are many devotees chanting Hare Krishna, then naturally our attention becomes even more concentrated in the holy name of Krishna. Mind becomes more concentrated on the holy name of Krishna. And one forgets about other things. That's perfection. While chanting the holy name of Krishna, we don't have to think about so many other topics. We simply have to hear and chant, and Krishna will manifest himself when devotees sincerely chant his holy name. Purnashuddha Nityamukta Abhinantan Namanamina Namachintamina Krishna. There's no difference between the holy name and Krishna himself. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna is there. And this is the secret of Krishna consciousness. All the benefit that we can have by associating with Krishna in person, we can have through the association of Krishna in the form of his holy name. Everything is there in the process of chanting. And along with the holy name of Krishna, Krishna's philosophy is there in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's pastimes are there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So much Krishna Katha is to be found in these books. And there's so much Krishna Seva to be done to serve the Lord. So we can hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember Krishna, and always be engaged in Krishna consciousness. This is the perfection of yoga. And the perfection of human life. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Yes? Mm-hmm. What do you question?
Imagine that other yogas, in the Kali Yuga, we have so many disabilities, so many manas and manas and yoga. But let's say what portion, because we're also given a process which is very simple, much simpler than other ages cannot do. What portion of that, our connection with the Brahma Madhva Rodi Samudra, what portion of that is let's say, our Sukriti, and what portion of that would be, there's no, it's not just a...
Our connection is by devotional service. By Sukriti, by good fortune, you may come in touch with devotees. But our connection is by devotional service. By Sukriti, one may become rich or well-educated or good-looking, or one may get various kinds of well-educated, good fortune. But that's not enough to connect us with Krishna. One connected bhaktya mama vijanati. One can know Krishna only by devotional service. Or you can say, that's transcendental Sukriti. Is that right?
As opposed to other agents who are so qualified, but they might not.
Then in other ages also, it didn't matter. You may be very pious, but you can't know Krishna by mundane pious credit. The perfection of yoga could be attained only by devotional service. That's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also. Yoginam ki sarvesham vajkateim antaratmana shraddhavan padate yomam. Padate means bhakti. The perfect yogi is the person who's engaged in devotional service in any age. Satyu, chetyu, kratyu, kalyu. Yes.
Alright, I find that my service has increased in the last year.
Good.
But how do I know if I'm doing service in the mode of passion or if I'm doing it in the mode of goodness?
How do we know if we're doing service in passion or in goodness?
Yes, yeah, I understand the mode of ignorance, but those matters I mentioned are a little confusing.
There, you can see them in the Bhagavad Gita. The modes of nature are described. Generally, the mode of goodness, the mode of passion is characterized by strong desires for sense gratification. So if I do something, I want profit, I want fame, I want adoration, I go through a lot of endeavor, but it's all about getting my name on the building. It's all about what I want. That's passion. And goodness, one works as a matter of duty. It's my duty to serve Krishna. So it's not, what will I get? What will people think?
Yeah.
It's my duty, that's all. I may gain, I may lose, but it's my duty. I am Krishna's servant, Krishna is my master. I have to serve Krishna, that's all.
Is it possible to be served with passion in the mode of goodness?
Serve with passion in goodness. So then that's transcendental passion. When we say passion, generally we mean there's a lot of endeavor, there's a lot. That kind of passion there can be, but not for one's own. Just like Hanuman, he's tearing up Lanka. But not for his own interest, but for the service of Ram. So it looks like passion. He's getting angry, he's setting fire to Lanka, but it's not this material passion.
It looks like ignorance.
Yeah, it looks like ignorance also. Monkeys. So you asked about ignorance. In ignorance, there's foolishness, there's madness, there's bewilderment, there's laziness. So we see someone's a devotee, but anything he could do on Tuesday, he puts off till Thursday, and then he puts it off till next Saturday. No, that laziness, procrastination, that's a sign of ignorance. To do things that are foolish, or do them in a foolish way, that's a sign of ignorance. Getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning and then going back to sleep. Sleeping too much, that's a sign of ignorance. So, but still, even a person affected by ignorance can take to devotional service and he becomes purified. even a person in passion can take to devotional service and gradually become pure.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, this question about false ego, how can it be surpassed? And how can it
false ego you get free from by real ego. False ego means to think that I'm this body, that I'm doing everything, that, yes. And real ego means I'm a servant of Krishna, not this body, and spirit soul. So by, when we come to our real ego, real identity, then we give up our false identity. Anyata rupam swarupena mukti hitva anyata rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. Mukti, liberation, means hitva anyata rupam, to give up this false identity and come to a real identity. Nitya Krishna Das. By the way, if you came in more recently and your cell phone is not in silent mode, please give it a kick. Yeah, this is by imagination. I'll accept Prabhupada as my guru, I'll accept Lord Shiva as my guru, I'll accept Rupa Goswami as my guru, and then I'll give myself a name in such and such Das, or somebody will give me a name in such and such. This is an invented method of devotional service. Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi, Pancha, Travanin, Vina. Goswami says, any method of so-called devotional service that doesn't follow the standard of the Shruti, Smriti, and the other Vedic literature is simply a disturbance. So to invent some method of devotional service, it's like a doctor. If a doctor says, you say, well, where did you learn medicine? Well, I learned it from this great departed doctor that I never met, but whose teachings were very impressive to me. You'd probably say, well, could you refer me to another doctor? Because that's not how we learn medicine. Yeah, even in ordinary things, spiritual, even music, you know, who was your teacher? Well, my teacher was someone from 500 years ago. Was it, yeah, Beethoven, or was it Tyson, or Mozart? Tansen, yes. So, then people said, okay, here, right? This is, everybody knows, this is not how you learn. You approach a music teacher. Maybe your music teacher is not Beethoven or Tansen, but it's somebody who can teach you music. Not just in your imagination, I'll learn music from Beethoven. I'll learn music from Tansen.
They have somebody doing the ceremony, one of our godfathers, doing the ceremony.
Yeah, I'll do a ceremony and you'll become a disciple of Beethoven. What is that?
must become the guru. But they asked me, do you accept such a such person as a disciple of Prabhupada? I said, no. He's a grand disciple of Prabhupada. He's initiated by such and such person. That's okay.
Usually the person says, no, I'm not initiating you, but I'm Prabhupada is your guru. And even the person doesn't accept the responsibility for being guru. The other person doesn't accept the submissive position of the disciple. They just imagine that they're neither disciples of Prabhupada nor grand disciples.
Unless the middle one takes the responsibility.
Yeah. You don't become a disciple of Prabhupada that way, you don't become a grand disciple. They themselves will say, no, I'm not a grand disciple, I'm a disciple. So, all right, they don't accept themselves as grand disciples, and neither do we. And they're not disciples also, because they're not following the process. You follow the process, then you can become a grand disciple. And great-grand disciple, great-grand-grand disciple, shishya, prashishya, on and on it goes. But by mental concoction, you become nothing. You become bewildered, you become an imitation.
Why does it seem so hard to control the mind? I've chanted, most of the cans, and still, I feel like I haven't gotten anywhere, and the mind is dragging me all over the place. Why is it so difficult?
Krishna says, well, yes, Chanchalehi Mana Krishna Pramati Balabhad Yudham, Arjuna says, Tasyaham Nugraham Manye Vajuliva Sarushkara. The mind is fickle, crazy. Pramati means crazy. And Balabhad, very strong. And Yudham, stubborn. So trying to control the mind is like trying to stop a hurricane. Stop. So the mind is powerful like that. But Krishna says, asamsham hi mahabaho manodur nigraham chalam abhyasena tukundi vairagyena jivihate. It's true that the mind is very stubborn and fickle and crazy and strong, but one can control it, abhyas, by practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. By practice, one controls the mind. So we see, practically, someone begins chanting and his mind is wandering, but if every day he chants 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, any number of rounds, gradually building up, then the mind starts to become controlled by practice. Anything, music, dance, riding a bicycle, doing multiplication. All of these things seem very difficult in the beginning, but by practice, one learns how to do it. Driving a car. How do you, you have to turn the steering wheel and press the accelerator and keep your eye in the rear view mirror and watch the traffic in front of you. How do you do all those things? But therefore people learn, they go to driving school and they put a big L on his car. But gradually, by practice, he becomes a regular driver and he's driving, he's talking on his cell phone. By practice. And by rocking, by detachment. In cultivating Krishna consciousness, we want to attach ourselves to Krishna and detach ourselves from engagement in useless activities of sense gratification and vairagya. Something else? Yes?
In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Prabhupada mentions that sometimes one engages in some activities, and sometimes the mode of goodness overrides the mode of passion. Sometimes passion overrides the mode of goodness. How can we
gradual practice, then gradually we can go to more goodness, or sometimes we think that we want to make the advancement like now.
Krishna says, Nistraigunya Bhavarjana, what is that? Trigunya Vishayadeva Nistraigunya Bhavarjana. It doesn't tell her to come to the moment. You get beyond goodness. Chanting Hare Krishna is not on the platform of material goodness, passion, or ignorance. And we chant Hare Krishna and we come to the transcendental platform. So on the material platform, sometimes you'll be in goodness, sometimes passion, but when you come to the transcendental platform, then you're beyond this competition of the three modes of nature. Kirtaniya Sarahi.
Is there
any
ever time when we won't have to feel the need to beat the mind?
Is there any time you won't feel the need to beat the... Yeah, when you're illusion. When we think that there's no need to beat the mind, it means we're an illusion. Or we're, either when we're completely in Krishna consciousness or when we're in Maya. When one is completely liberated, but even the completely liberated persons feel that I have to control the mind. Only the fools think, no, why should I control the mind?
What did Prabhupada say? In the morning, 100, at night, 100.
Yeah.
With a shoe and a stick. And broom.
Yeah.
What was that, 100?
Yeah, 100 times in the morning with a broomstick, 100 times in the evening with a shoe. In case anyone's wondering what to do with the mind. Anything else? Should we stop here? Eating. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's Hare Krishna. Chanting is more gentle, so you might want to try chanting first. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Just have a round of applause.
I just wanted to thank Maharaj very much for coming to give us an association and his guidance and his association from Srila Prabhupada. And I'd like to invite Maharaj, whenever he's in this area, please come by. So, presently, we're going to want